Well, we continue on in our study of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. This evening we're at question and answer 96. You can find that in the back of your hymnal on page 975. 975. We're going to look at question and answer 96 this evening. What is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a sacrament wherein by giving and receiving bread and wine, according to Christ's appointment, His death is showed forth, and the worthy receivers are, not after a corporal and carnal manner, but by faith, made partakers of His body and blood, with all His benefits, to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. Now, I want to mention three brief things by way of review in our study of the sacraments, which is where we find ourselves in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. First, we've learned that sacraments are outward and visible signs of inward and invisible graces. And the graces that are communicated in sacraments are basically the benefits of being united to Christ, along with all the benefits of being in the new covenant. Second, we've learned that what makes a sacrament efficacious is the working of the Holy Spirit in us, enabling us to participate in the sacrament by faith. A third thing we've been taught is that there's always a close connection between the outward sign and what it points to. And in the Lord's Supper, the outward signs are the giving and receiving bread and wine, according to Christ's appointment. And of course, the bread has to do with Christ's body, and the wine has to do with Christ's poured out blood for our sins. And you want to remember, at the most basic level, just as bread and wine nourish the body, in the Lord's Supper, they are for our spiritual nourishment, and as the Catechism says, our growth in grace. Now, a lot of what question 96 is concerned with is just how Christ is present in the Lord's Supper. And there are two major assertions that I want to draw your attention to in the Catechism. First, Christ is not physically present in the Supper. He's not present in a corporal or carnal matter. But second, and this is the other assertion, and it's important, He is truly present by the power of the Spirit received by faith, so that we are partakers of His body and blood. Now, to sort of understand those two assertions, we need to take a moment and do a bit of historical theology, and to know that there have basically been four ways the Church has or does explain the presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. The first view I'll mention is the Roman Catholic view, and they hold to what we describe and what is described by them even as transubstantiation. And when you hear that, transubstantiation, think transfer of substance, right? Transubstantiation, transfer of substance. The Catholic view is that during the miracle of the Mass, And that is the most sacred part of the Catholic liturgy, the Holy Spirit causes a transfer of substance. The bread and wine in their substance become something different. Yes, externally, they still appear to be bread and wine. The philosophical language is there, it's accidents. But they still appear to be bread and wine, but their actual substance is transferred and becomes the body and blood of the Lord. See, our Catholic friends believe when Jesus said, "This is my body," when He was administering the Lord's Supper to His disciples, they believe that literally, in a very wooden way. The Reformers responded to that and said, no, Jesus was using a figure of speech, right? Jesus also said, "I'm the door." It doesn't mean He literally swung on hinges. He said, "I'm the good shepherd." It doesn't mean He hangs out and herds creatures that are white and fluffy and go baa. Transubstantiation was, according to the Reformers, an an error, and it was an error they were addressing when they said Jesus isn't present in a corporal and carnal matter in the Lord's Supper. Now, a second view, a second error, was that of Luther and his followers. And this is the view known as consubstantiation. Luther saw a lot of the problems that existed in the Roman Catholic Mass, but Luther was nonetheless convinced that Jesus' words, "This is my body," had to in some way be taken literal. And so consubstantiation means with substance. Remember, transubstantiation, transfer of substance. Consubstantiation with the substance. And so Lutherans hold that the bread and wine remain bread and wine, but Christ is physically present with, in, and under the elements. He's physically with the substance. And again, the Westminster Divine said, no, that's not right. So that was a second error. Now, a third view of how Christ is present in the supper, and again, I would call it a third error, is one that sees the Lord's Supper as pure commemoration, or what's commonly called the memorial view. And this is the majority view of our evangelical friends. And it's often a view that's associated with the Swiss reformer Huldrych Zwingli, although it's probably unfair to ascribe that view wholly to him. But the memorialist view believes there simply is no real presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, except in your ability to remember Christ's sacrifice. The Lord's Supper is a memorial, a memory aid to commemorate his suffering and death on the cross. And again, the Catechism helps us avoid that error too by reminding us we are partakers of his body and blood with all his benefits, and this tends to our spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. And that does bring us to the fourth view, which is often and certainly rightly connected to Calvin, and I believe to be the most biblical view. Calvin definitely taught that remembrance was a chief purpose of the Lord's purpose, but certainly not the only purpose. It was primarily for communion and union with Christ. So, for example, we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, the fellowship, the koinonia with the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not communion, fellowship with the body of Christ? So when we eat and we drink the cup, Christ is spiritually present, not physically, but truly present nonetheless, so that we are partaking of the, so that when we're partaking of the elements, we're actually spiritually partaking with Christ. We're communing with Christ. In the Lord's Supper, Christ is offered to us, and we truly receive Christ. We truly have fellowship with Christ in the Lord's Supper. And because of this, not everyone's invited to the Lord's table, because not everyone can participate worthily. But we'll have to wait till next week to learn what it means to participate worthily. I'll give you a moment to ask any questions or comments of the catechism lesson. You were going to say something, Chris?
Yeah, just going back to the teaching on the sacraments. The Reformers found problematic the teaching in the church at the time about sacramental orders. The idea was that in virtue of their ordination, the priests had the power to effect this change by intoning the words of institution. And that to the Reformers was bad doctrine, arrogating to themselves this power to effect this transfer of substance, as you put it, by pronouncing, "This is my body given for you." It became almost, it became an occasion for superstition, right? This is where we get our focus from.
Focus corpus meum, right? Isn't that it? This is my body, focus corpus meum, something like that?
The Calvinists said that They're not mere empty or naked symbols, but their power doesn't come from us. It comes from the Holy Spirit. So if we can say that Christ's body and blood are really at work in them, it's not owing to anything that we do.
You know, it's one of the problems as you're going through the catechism and you're trying, I typically try to keep it under 5 or 6 minutes, but we kind of touched on this back in question and answer 91. It talks about how do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation. The sacrament becomes effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them or in him that does administer them. And again, that was to address exactly your point, because, you know, I'm getting orders is one of the sacraments of the Catholic Church. And so they were pushing back against both of those things, that the priest had any special import on the effectual nature of the sacrament. It was all of the Holy Spirit, you know, so.
You're on the catechism. You had said something about the third explanation and the fact that Zwingli, it wasn't really fair to... I've always thought or always learned that it was all about Zwingli's explanation that it was just a commemoration or a remembrance only.
Yeah, I think, you know what, as better scholarship has developed, I think that's emerged. You have to understand a lot of what we think of in terms of Zwingli's perspective has to do with the colloquy of Marburg, right? And that was like 1528, something like that, 27. Yeah, it was early on in the Reformation. And so he was there, and Luther was being a bore, frankly. He pounding his fist on the desk and saying, writing on chalk on the desk, "This is of my body. Don't tell me anything different," you know. And so I think a lot of the perspectives we have of Zwingli is opposing that. But I don't think he was quite I'm sure he wasn't the memorialist the way an average evangelical is. So that's what I meant by it's a little unfair.
So in reference to that, then, did Zwingli see the Lord's Supper as a means of grace or just strictly memorial?
Yeah, that's something scholars are kind of hashing out right now. And I'm not into that enough to say one way or the other. No.
But you know, Zwingli had a successor named Bullinger. And Bullinger was more open to a stronger, more robust view of real presence than Zwingli himself was.
Bullinger was awesome. You know what, to the point Chris made earlier about what the Reformers wanted to do, again, so much of our Reformed sacramentology is grounded in Calvin. And one of the things he wanted to insist, and he used this language frequently, is that a sacrament's neither mirage nor magic, right? In other words, it's not a pretend blessing, but neither is it magic. Something doesn't happen because of the priest or a certain liturgy or a certain stringing together a certain number of words. You know, and he was trying to strike that balance because Calvin did believe when Jesus said, "This is my body," that was literally true. He just didn't think it was true literally. That's the difference, right? So, and so he wanted to say he's present, but now we've got to ask the question, how is he present? Because clearly, if I said, "Here, this is Chip's body, eat it," you're like, no, Chip's body is standing here. The disciples understood when they saw Jesus sitting there that wasn't his body. So,
Calvin, it's an issue of Christology, because to say what you just said is to deny, for Calvin, it's to deny his place at the right hand of God, in which our humanity, in virtue of Christ's incarnation, really is.
And Chris is kind of moving us into to more heady theology with that. But this was one of the big, big complaints that the Reformed had with the Lutherans, right? Because with the consubstantiation and Jesus being physically present, you know, within, above, what they were saying is they were mingling the deity and humanity of Christ in such a way that they could, that they were trying to say he could be physically present. Physically omnipresent, right? And the Reformers are like, no, your Christology is bordering on heresy when you go there. And it really is. And I've never really understood how the Lutherans get away, how they do that, because they are so grounded in Christological orthodoxy. But yeah.
That's a really big sticking point between Lutherans.
Yeah.
And that's, again, this is if you're an egghead theologian, this is where the language extra Calvinisticum comes. The Lutheran used that language to say, this is an extra Calvin was adding, the Calvinists were adding on. You know, that, of course, it's perfectly normal for his physical body to be in heaven and on earth. That's why if you read the confession, not just the catechism, but the confession, or you read the Belgic or even the Heidelberg catechism, they want to make sure that you say, no, in his physical nature, he remains forever at the right hand of God the Father. No. Anyway, we're getting sacramentally far afield here. Sorry. It's good stuff, yeah. No. And it's important because sacraments, as you've mentioned, these are a means of grace. They are appointed by God. We need to use them rightly because they're gifts and blessings that the Lord's given the church. No. And here's something to know. You know, as Reformers, we often think about, man, I'm so glad for the Reformation and all the information they produced in terms of justification by faith alone. Man, they spilled way more ink on the sacraments than they did justification, for sure. You know, so. But anyway.